Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson broadcasting from the eastern plains of Colorado, deep in the woods, a safe distance from the demise of Western civilization, where my family is homeschooling. We have five children, and we homeschool them out there. So does Dave, who is in studio with me right now. And, folks, we are espousing the principles of freedom out here on the eastern plains of Colorado. Yes, freedom is disappearing in many, many of the Western nations because freedom at one time was defined by biblical Christian law. But we're losing a concept for that sort of thing. Freedom, I think, in the minds of a lot of people is the freedom to light up a marijuana cigarette and escape reality for a moment. Freedom to us is under the laws of God. It's maximum liberty is obtained when you live your life according to the principles of God's word. Well, that's one reason why we believe that homeschooling is a freedom. It's freedom for the family to operate under the jurisdictional boundaries that God has laid out in his word. It is when the state violates these boundaries, it is when the church violates the boundaries, it's when the family violates the boundaries, when we begin to see freedoms dissipate. And freedoms dissipated, of course, in the founding of this nation when the state tried to control the church. Well, the state has been trying to control the family now for about 150 years. And we believe that when the state tries to control the family, it will destroy the family. And this is precisely what has happened with the Platonic Rousseauian Marxist agenda that has been imposed on almost every Western nation and many Eastern nations, every single developed nation around the world. And that's why we broadcast on the internet to 80 countries around the world. There are still a few people out there who hear the clarion call for freedom from my basement out here in the eastern plains of Colorado, and people are responding all over the place. People write to us all the time at host@kevinswanson.com and say, wow, the concepts of freedom that you are bringing out to the masses through internet radio and television is transforming the way that we look at life. Well, homeschooling, I believe, is one of the important incarnations of this freedom we're talking about. Because people say, hey, do I have to send my children to an institutionalized, bureaucratized way of life where they will be processed by government-trained bureaucrats to become the socialist automatons that they're supposed to be? No, that does not have to happen, folks. That's why homeschooling is a great way in which people begin to learn that there is such a thing as freedom, the freedom to raise our children the way that we see fit, especially according to the principles of the Word of God. Well, there are opponents to homeschooling, and we bring these out from time to time, especially in the academic world, Dave. We're starting to see more people opposing home education because they're seeing it as an insidious crack in the system of total bureaucracy, total governmentalized socialistic control of every single person on planet Earth. When you get 2 million people break free from the system and you get their brains out of the jars, pull the electrodes off and bring those children home and begin to nurture them in a family environment instead of a socialistic classroom environment, you're going to change the system for those people, and you might even put a crack in the bureaucratized, socially planned system that will inevitably bring this thing down. Well, the latest vile little piece written by a professor comes from Georgetown University Law Center. Her name is Robin West, and she has written a paper on the harms of home education. Homeschool Legal Defense Association picked this thing up, and that's how I got a hold of it. They made some comments on it. Here, folks, is one of the most outrageous statements I think I have ever heard about home education in the 40 years I've been part of this movement. Listen to what Robin West says about the Protestant homeschooling family. They live, quote, in trailer parks, 1,000-square-foot homes, houses owned by relatives and some on tarps and fields and parking lots. They lack job skills. And that's passed from one generation to the next. Depresses the community's overall economic health and their state's tax base. Okay, that's Robin West on homeschooling. A bunch of fuddy-duddy, fundamentalist ignoramuses. They'll never, ever contribute to society, to the economies, to the political systems. They're just a bunch of hokey people who live in trailer parks and parking lots. Dave, I don't think I've ever met a homeschooling family living in a parking lot so far. Now, we don't live in a 1,000-square-foot home. We live in a 7,400-square-foot home, but our garage is 1,000 square feet, and from time to time we go out into the garage to homeschool in the garage. So I guess, you know, we might homeschool in the garage occasionally.
Well, we all know that homeschoolers are amongst the lowest of society. Of course, Robin West lives in a fashionable brownstone. I'm sure near Georgetown. Fashionable brownstone.
I have never heard anything so snobby, so elitist, as what Robin West wrote in the Georgetown University Law Center paper.
Well, it's Georgetown University. Being snob is part of being the faculty requirements.
This is utterly disgusting. I mean, liberals, I thought, were supposed to care about the people living in parking lots and trailer parks. I thought there was some compassion for people living in trailer parks. Here, it's certainly, she's looking down on them. They're living in a trailer. Imagine somebody living in a trailer. I mean, could you think of anything worse than that? It's awful.
Yes,
awful.
Yes, you could live in a fashionable brownstone in Washington, D.C., where the public schools, I might add, spend about more per capita student than any other place virtually on the planet, but anywhere else in the United States, Washington, D.C., and get some of the very worst results. So there is worse things than living in a trailer park.
HSLD, of course, points out that all the studies done on homeschooling, if Robin West had ever bothered to check any study that's ever been done about homeschooling, determined that homeschoolers are up in the 85th and 89th percentile on the nationally standardized test. They're far, far, far above academically what's happening in the public and private schools. So in terms of academics, study after study after study after study proves that homeschooling does far, far, far better academically. But, of course, that's not the purpose for the socialist schools. The socialist schools are there to dumb them down because, remember, you're trying to raise herds of cows to process through your bureaucratized socialized systems. Well, also, HSLDA points out that a recent study from Canada followed homeschoolers all the way from the mid-1990s to 2009 or 2010. And once homeschoolers have grown up, and they surveyed homeschoolers that were between 15 and 34 years of age, found that they were making $27,534 average per year, as opposed to the average Canadian income per capita of $22,117. So they're far, far above the national average in terms of per capita income. So, again, folks, homeschooling, the studies have shown that homeschoolers actually turn out doing very, very well. They do well economically, socially, even politically. I think the report done by Dr. Brian Ray, Homeschooling Grows Up, looked at 7,200 homeschool graduates and found that they were doing far, far better in life, far more satisfied in life, far more likely to have advanced education, far, far more likely to be involved in social activities, political activities. In fact, homeschoolers were 14 times more likely to be involved in political activities than their counterparts in public and private schools. So anyway, folks, homeschoolers, they do very, very well. Thank you very much. And but Robin West makes some other very interesting comments that I'm going to address in just a moment. More on this attack on home education from the Georgetown University Law Center. Be back in just a moment.
Folks, we are in the middle of the greatest recession since World War II. Unemployment continues to rise after 22 months of recession. Will the national bailouts and the massive redistribution of the wealth into irresponsible banks really help the situation? Will John Maynard Keynes' fractional reserve indebted system work out in the long run? I mean, he didn't think it was going to work in the long run. If you're a Christian father and mother and you care about the future of your children and grandchildren, I'm telling you, it's time to work on Plan B. That's why we're doing a Family Economics Conference coming up here on March 5th and 6th, 2010. This will be a hands-on, practical conference bringing biblical perspectives to bear in every area of family economics. We're talking work. We're talking family entrepreneurism, debt-free living, contractual employment, inheritance, being a faithful employee, taking care of aging parents, living without Social Security, which, by the way, will happen, saving and investments, retirement, family charity, education, mentorship, taxation, health care decisions, seeking employment, raising dominion-minded daughters. We have found the best speakers in America who have studied and written on biblical family economics. It's time to work on Plan B, my friends. If you have a family and you are living in the American economy today, you need to check out this Family Economics Conference on March 5th and 6th, 2010. Check it out at kevinswanson.com. That's kevinswanson.com. Check it out now.
Welcome back to the Generations Radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson addressing the Robin West vile little piece on homeschooling. She's from Georgetown University Law Center. And Dave, you know, as you think about this, she attacks homeschooling because she believes there are a lot of problems with it. Ultimately, she believes that homeschoolers are being trained in an improper social theory. In trailer parks, yeah. I think she's brilliant in her address because she's trying to be consistent with her socialist worldview. You've got to keep those kids in a socialist context if they are going to be socialists in the years to come. That's her basic argument. But she also throws in a few others. She says, well, homeschooling provides a closet for a cloak for child abuse, and she points to the Detroit News story that I think we addressed a couple of weeks ago on a few families that abused their kids to the point that they died. And of course, HSLDA came back and said, yeah, these families were abusing their kids while they were attending public schools. There are just as many, as far, far more people abusing their children whose children are attending public schools as there are within the homeschool environment. So HSLDA points those sorts of things out. And then again, we pointed out a time or two that, public schools can abuse your kids too. And they can do just about as good of a job at abusing as families do.
I think, quoting the Detroit News, that those two anecdotal stories is unbefitting a person in academia, as is Ms. West. There's not a study here. We don't know the percentage of children abused at home who go to public schools as opposed to those who are homeschooled. This is two anecdotes. Yeah. People abuse children. It's horrible. Now, on the silly side, I would say the difference is when homeschoolers do it, it's not being done by professionals. When the education establishment abuses your children, and there are many, many documented cases, far more, I might say, when a teacher sexually abuses your child, that's being done by a trained professional. So maybe that's the problem. But this is really beneath the academic stature of Ms. West.
Well, Robin West has other reasons why she doesn't like homeschooling. She throws that out, I think, as, a way to poison the well a little bit on homeschooling. But her basic argument is that homeschoolers are not raised under a proper socio-political system. We have, under the present public school monopoly, an absolute control on ideas, a monopoly of thought. Of course, Thomas Jefferson said to compel a man to subsidize with his taxes the propagation of ideas which he disbelieves and abhors is sinful and tyrannical. And that was what the public school's been doing for a long time. They compel me to pay by my tax monies for these tens of billions of dollars that are put into public education in my state, and I don't particularly appreciate it. I don't appreciate the fact that I've got to pay for everybody else to be properly social and properly receiving of the propagation of ideas that I consider to be abhorrent, absolutely abhorrent in these science classes and history classes. So they force me to pay my taxes this way, and then I've got to pay for my own children's education on the side. Well, that aside, Robin West is also very concerned about these homeschoolers growing up, because when these homeschoolers grow up, they get politically involved, and she didn't like that at all. Apparently, she might have read a little bit of Dr. Brian Ray's study, because if the word ever gets out that homeschoolers are 14 times more likely to be involved in political action, and they make up 3-4% of the population, that's a really bad sign for what could happen, say, 20, 30 years from now, when a lot of these homeschoolers will grow up, and eventually, if they're making up 3-4% of the population, 14 times more likely to be politically involved. Do the math, you're going to find out they're going to be more like 52-55% of the political activists of the year 2025. And most of these hardcore socialists consider that to be the ultimate nightmare. Well, here's what she says, though. This is really interesting. She says that their political involvement is extensive. It's limited to political action, the aim of which is to undermine, limit, or destroy state functions that interfere with family and parental rights. So that's, they want freedom. They want freedom. She's really down on that. She does not like freedom. Now, freedom maybe to light up a marijuana cigarette might be okay with her, but certainly not the freedom to homeschool your children. Certainly not the freedom to maintain the right to raise your own children. She doesn't see that to be important at all. Nevertheless, she says, and by their own accountings, these citizen soldiers in the homeschooling movement and the various political campaigns in which they are so enlisted have no clout in the army in which they serve. With little education, few if any job skills, and scant resources, their power either to influence the lines of authority within their own sphere or to leave that sphere is virtually nil. So a little bit of academic pride, I would say, slipping out there. She says, they seem to like to pretend that they're going to be movers and shakers, but because they're so ignorant and they have no concept how to run the socio-political system that we've put together, it's just not going to happen. They're not going to have much of an impact in the years to come. Dave, there's something about this that I disagree with, and there's something about this that I do agree with. It's interesting as she makes these comments. I think it is true that sometimes we're used by the Republicans. Our impact is slight politically speaking, because the system itself doesn't really support our worldview. In other words, we have come at the system saying we don't need the state to be involved in education. And then we run for school board trying to prop up the present sociopolitical systems. So she sees, I think, a tension here. She sees us supporting the Republicans that support the public school, the public university system that, of course, cuts down all of the conservative values that these Republican conservatives are supposed to be espousing. So, but that's true of just about every Republican. Once he runs in and tries to support public support for education, he winds up undermining his basically free market approach to life. And this is right here is the belly of the beast. And to a great extent, homeschoolers have not been able to shove a sword into the belly of the beast. Now, we've clipped a few toenails, maybe, but in terms of politics, but we certainly have not shoved a javelin into the belly of this beast and brought down the education systems.
Well, I think if you really look at Robin West's article, you find out that she isn't really concerned about their economic status. She's not concerned about their political activities, only in as much as that the homeschoolers tend to want freedom, something she is against. She does not like the Christian worldview. Now, I can say this, I think, with some assurance, because I've read her biography. The Georgetown Law Center has her biography and her picture on there. She's got a nice little page boy haircut. Very fitting the feminist that she is. In her biography, this, I believe she wrote it, it says Professor West has written extensively on gender issues and feminist legal theory. Okay, I think we've got to the crux of the matter. Homeschooling does not really well support feminist legal theory. It actually would exalt rather a biblical ideal of womanhood and not feminism. And this is the crux of the matter. Everything else is a straw man, is a whitewashing of what her real problem is. And the problem is that women are being raised to be meek and quiet, things that are wise, that are beautiful in the sight of God.
Well, and that, of course, is not her worldview. And moreover, when she says she's a feminist, she's saying that she wants to be a socialist. That is, she hates the family, the idea of the unity of the family where a husband and wife come together and they form a unity and they have a household that is unified. Of course, the feminists find that abhorrent. And they want to create a socialist system where all the individuals are radically individualized so that they all plug in individually to the public socialist system. And that's her worldview, but that's not our worldview. Our social system, it talks about reinventing, re-energizing, re-relevantizing the family so that freedom will survive, so that we will not have large socialist centralized governments that control things for the years to come. And, of course, that is the trend right now. Here's a recent story that just came out this morning from AP News. Obama is seeking $1.35 billion more for education. No surprise there, of course. George W. Bush increased the Federal Department of Education by at least 300%. The higher education portion increased by 500% during the 8 years that he was involved. And that's slightly more than the CPI, just for those of you doing the math. Of course, the Republicans, the Democrats alike, have been doing everything that they can to centralize control over education, over all 40, 50 million people being educated across America. It is the goal of Republicans and Democrats to increase the size of government in the area of education, and Barack Obama is doing that to the tune of $1.35 billion for his 2011 budget. And the states, of course, must amend education laws and policies to compete for a share of the money. Of course, in order to comply with federal control. That's right. Federal control of education is critical. I think I touched on this a while back when we talked about how important it was to establish federal control in order to pervert education, in order to bring the Kevin Jennings in so that they can pervert education and create as much homosexuality in America as possible. Follow the money, folks. When it comes to control, follow the money. Follow the money. As we increase money on the federal level, when we establish the Department of Education in the 1970s, the goal was to increase centralized federal control over every state across America, to create a large, centralized, bureaucratized state that would control all of the 50 states, every single tiny school district, so there would be no autonomy in the school districts anymore. We're going to see absolute control over education on the part of the federal government in the years to come, folks. And the money has been doing that for the last 10 years, and Obama is carrying on the Bush legacy in this area. Centralized control over education is absolutely essential in order to bring all of this about. The fact is, at the same time, you have the tyrants, the dragons, doing everything they can to gain control over all of the villages across this country. I think we're beginning to see cracks in their system. Number one, homeschooling. Homeschooling is a wonderful sign. It's a massive decentralization. That's what irritates these people. They don't want to see education decentralized, not just to private schools, but to every single family, where we're seeing the family as a social covenantal unit being energized and strengthened in the 21st century. This is diametrically opposed to everything Plato and Rousseau and Marx dreamed of. Homeschooling is re-energizing the family. They can't stand the fact you have 2 million people massively decentralizing control of education across America. That's the worst possible thing that could happen. But, Dave, there's something else happening, too. I just have this story. Got it off the press just this morning. AP News. The 13th bankruptcy on the part of U.S. newspapers was filed this month. That's the 13th bankruptcy of the American media networks over the last 13 months. 13 bankruptcies in 13 months. Unbelievable. And it's happening right now.
Hey, so you're excited.
I'm thrilled.
There's going to be
newspapers
boys out there
who are dying. They're dying on the vine. So is ABC, NBC, and CBS. And they're being replaced by little tiny broadcast centers that are broadcasting literally from a basement. I'm looking up. I'm seeing beams. I'm seeing drywall. I'm seeing insulation. We are in a basement deep in the woods in Elbert County, Colorado, and we are forming an incredible threat to NBC, CBS, ABC, and of course 13 newspapers across America who have all filed for bankruptcy in the last 13 months. Decentralization is coming. Big time.
Now, that's sad for all those little boys out there who will never have a paper route. But, you know, the New York Times,
Dave,
it cannot fall fast
Dave,
enough.
Don't worry about that. There's going to be 50,000 newspapers, newsletters, email opportunities. The little boy who was delivering the newspapers, he can start his own radio program. I know kids doing this kind of stuff. They're doing their own. They can do their own now. They can broadcast to their little group of 150 people. We're going to see a massive decentralization, folks. And it may appear to be a little anarchical for a while, but it's going to undermine the massive tyrannies. These Babels are coming down, Dave. These Babels are coming down again. The Babel principle keeps revisiting again and again and again. God will not allow these governments to form these massive, massive centralized forces without them coming down. They always come down, as did the Roman Empire, as did the Greek Empire, as did the Assyrian Empire, as did the Egyptian Empire, as did the Spanish Empire, as did the French Empire, as did the English Empire. These empires always come crashing down.
It's because God's kingdom is what's important to him. It's not the empires of men. It's never been the Roman Empire, which was important to God. The author of this world, the author of our history, believes the kingdom of God, his kingdom, that's what's important, and that's what will happen. And if we're going to have a kingdom being opposed by an empire, the empire will fall.
By the way, Dave, the reason I'm so thrilled, the 13th newspaper to come crashing down, 13th newspaper to file bankruptcy in 13 months, the Denver Post. You can imagine my excitement over this. Denver
How can
Post
that
is,
be? Because the Rocky Mountain News isn't competing with it anymore.
Denver Post bought out the Rocky Mountain News about a year or two ago. Then the Denver Post filed bankruptcy. Folks, it's time for the liberals to take a hike, go home. The people who have tried to socialize and centralize control for the last 100 years, they're going to fail. They're going to fail. Granted, they gained control over all the media, and the media was the way in which they controlled the elections. Yeah, that happened for 100 years. It's not going to happen anymore. It's all coming down. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is really the subject of my book, The Second Mayflower. We have tremendous opportunities awaiting us. For those of you who believe in freedom, it's coming back. It really is. It's just a matter of the vision getting out there. That's why I wrote the book, The Second Mayflower, to prepare us for the future that awaits us. Great opportunities for freedom, I believe, are coming in the years to come. Granted, we've been losing our freedoms for 100 years, 200 years in many, many of the Eastern and Western countries. But freedom's coming back. And I want you to share that vision with your families by purchasing one of our books, The Second Mayflower. By the way, if you can't afford any of our resources, just email me, and we send you a free copy as well. So don't worry about the cost. If you'd like some of the vision we talk about on this radio program, you need to go to our website, kevinswanson.com. I'd encourage you to grab a copy of The Second Mayflower. Blessed is that nation whose God is the Lord. And that book synopsizes the ideas, the program, the vision of what we believe exists for us here in the future, if Christ should tarry. We have some great opportunities. Our Pilgrim and Puritan forefathers took advantage of some great opportunities in the 1600s. I think we can do it again in the 21st century. Grab a copy of my book, The Second Mayflower, and enjoy that book with your family. Ladies and gentlemen, you can hear this program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. You can interact with the program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down some vision for the next generation.